All right, Mike Adams here with a major announcement. I'm launching a new show with a new focus that I think you will find fascinating, and it launches in about 2 weeks or so. The show will have a co-host, and the concept of the show arises out of my several months-long investigations into decentralized finance, decentralized applications, basically using technology for, to achieve human freedom through decentralization. And the fact that the SEC is going crazy against crypto right now, Gary Gensler, you know, targeting basically almost everything in the crypto space, the central banks feeling really threatened right now because of what's going down, and also the central banks wanting to somehow corral people into a central bank digital currency coming up in the next few years and trying to figure out how to do that, which probably won't succeed because nobody wants to be a slave, well, except the oblivious masses, I guess, but informed people don't want to be a slave to that system. And so now is the time for humanity to make a choice to be either free or to be slaves. Using technology, humanity can choose to be free. But if they allow the overlords to exploit technology as a system of control and surveillance, then humanity will forever be enslaved under that system. But it'll be convenient, don't get me wrong. If you agree to be a slave, it's very convenient. You'll have a universal basic income. You'll qualify for loans and whatever. You'll never be blocked from anything as long as you go along with the system. But you have to take your vaccine jabs too, by the way, the depopulation bioweapons, which will eventually kill you. So that's part of the deal. If you don't want to be free, you will be enslaved and then you'll be dead. But a lot of people, frankly, have already signed up for that, and a lot more will. But not you, not you and I, and not the people that we're trying to reach. So this new show, I don't yet have the title for it. I've played around with some ideas. But essentially the concept is it's the search for the real-world applications of decentralized technology that's rooted in, of course, control over your own money, control over your speech, control over your future, and your privacy. There's a strong privacy emphasis in all of this because that's a basic human right. It comes down to human dignity. And what we're going to do for this show, and this is my invitation for anyone listening, if you're involved in these various projects, we're going to do about one show a week to start with, by the way, and we may change that, we may increase that if the show becomes more popular, but with each episode, we'd like to interview somebody who represents a project. It could be a cryptocurrency project. It could be a decentralized applications technology. It could be some kind of software or utility. It could be a decentralized exchange that people can use to, I don't know, swap coins. It could be somebody that's coding plugins that enable people to use cryptocurrency or dApps in creative ways. It could be Web 3.0 tech. You know, it could be lots of things. I'm trying not to limit it to any, you know, narrow focus because I want to hear about all kinds of solutions. And so here's the offer to anyone who wants to come on. I'll give you an email address to contact me, by the way. Oh, yeah. We also want to hear if anybody's got any tips, any stories, anything interesting going on that maybe we need to know about. Or, I don't know, up-and-coming news, you know, press releases, or maybe you've got the inside scoop on Gary Gensler. I don't know. But if you're interested in being a guest or participating in the show in any way, here's what you do. You just email my team at the following email address. It's situationupdate@protonmail.com. Situationupdate@protonmail.com. And in the subject line, just please put, idea for the new show, or related to the new show, or a guest for the new show, something like that. Just talk about the new show. And then our team will look through it. And we're open to suggestions. We're going to go through the suggestions and we're going to put together some stories and maybe an editorial calendar of different guests to bring on. Oh, and by the way, earlier today I interviewed Mike Winner, who is the co-founder of the Qortal project, Qortal. And I'd interviewed previously Jason Crow, who's also one of the co-founders of Qortal. And I'm so impressed with the Qortal project. Of course, I'm going to invite those guys back onto this new show, you know, maybe a few weeks down the road. But I'm so impressed with Qortal because I love their philosophy and what's motivating them. And when I was interviewing Mike Winter today, he said something really important that I very much resonate with that's, I think, going to drive this show a lot. And he said that the problem as he sees it with too many crypto projects or decentralized finance in general is that they're just focused on buy low, sell high. It's just this trading game of a currency or a coin or a token. And that ultimately all it is about people first getting into it by trading fiat for crypto and then trying to gain in the crypto space against other people. So for every winner, there's another loser, or sometimes for one winner, there are many losers, a lot of people losing a lot of money. And then the ultimate goal is just to get back out of the crypto into fiat so you can have more money to buy a Lamborghini, which seems so shallow and stupid to me. And also, Mike Winter agrees with that. It's like, really? This is your goal, is to just take money from people so you can buy a Lamborghini? That's just beyond shallow, and it's a waste of time. And frankly, we are not interested in that. We are interested in using this technology to help humanity achieve freedom from tyranny. And that's going to take a lot more than just, you know, FOMO and buy low, sell high, and oh, it's going to the moon, and pump and dumps and rug pulls. And by the way, since I've been investigating the crypto space and talking to a lot of people and interviewing people and watching a lot of videos, you know, oh my goodness, I hear about these things all the time. You know, the rug pulls, the scams, the Ponzi schemes, the con artists, the fraudsters. It's true. That exists in the crypto space. There's no question about it. But at the same time, there also exists some really innovative, pro-humanity, compassionate, ethical people who are visionaries for the future of the human race. And that's what we want to help bring out here. That's who we want to connect with, because those are our values. We want humanity to achieve freedom. And it's not even about, you know, buy low, sell high. It's really about the idea, what if you could just keep what you earned? What if you just had honest money, let's say, that wasn't stolen from you all the time by corrupt governments printing more fiat currency, which is what they routinely do. They're stealing from you every day. They're confiscating the value of your productivity. And that's why I said from day one, as I was looking at different cryptocurrency projects and talking about it, it's like, I don't care if these ever go up. If they just stay where they are, I'm thrilled, because I don't trust the banking system. I don't trust the central banks, the fiat currency, the governments, any of that. And so that's part of our approach here, is to say, hey, let's not just talk about projects that are, oh, it's only about a coin, it's only about a token, it's only about, you know, people who are pushing whatever kind of, I don't know, speculative price increases or other such nonsense. No, let's talk about how we implement these technologies to help create a more free future for humanity. That means we have to have applications for all these things. If it's digital money, we have to have applications for the digital money. Where do people spend it? How do people use it to exchange goods and services with each other, even, let's say, at the local farmer's market? You know, what do people do with digital money other than just try to sell it and trade it for fiat and buy a Lamborghini? Surely there must be some other use for it, and that's what we're trying to get to. And in my opinion, digital money has some pretty amazing properties, such as the fact that it's all borderless. You can transfer it anywhere around the world almost instantly, or within a few minutes, let's say. And if set up correctly, then you know, no one else can control it other than you. And if it has privacy features, then it's even more difficult for anybody to confiscate it or to track it or use it as a surveillance tool against you. So those are, you know, very valuable features and so on that we want to look into. So in other words, let me say it this way. I've seen shows on YouTube over the years, especially during the crypto hype years, the big bubble, the big run-up that ended with FTX. I've seen a lot of channels that were just, I mean, let me be honest. A lot of channels that were just dweebs and morons pumping coins to try to make a buck, you know, shills getting paid, whatever. We've all seen that. I have zero interest in that. It's boring. It's pathetic. It's a waste of time. Life is short. My God, we have to be smarter than that. I've also seen shows like CoffeeZilla, who is known as more of an investigative researcher, and he exposes a lot of crypto scams. And I think that's important too, by the way. I think CoffeeZilla has done some good work. I don't agree with everything he's ever done, by the way, but I think that we need people like that to do investigations and to look into issues. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to replace CoffeeZilla or anything like that. That's not my role. What I am trying to focus on as a platform owner, remember that, you know, I built Brighteon.com and Brighteon.social, and we have multiple publishing websites, and we have commenting systems, and we have, well, tipping systems that we're rolling out. We have e-commerce sites and many more yet to come, by the way. There's a lot more we're rolling out that you don't know about yet that we'll be talking about this year. But as a platform owner, one of my goals is just to apply cryptocurrency so that users can benefit from the properties of crypto. I want users, for example, to be able to tip each other or to tip content creators. Or I want to be able to reward users for their attention using something like an attention token. You know, like, hey, if you watch this video, you might get a small reward in some kind of coin of some kind, perhaps. You know, kind of like what Brave does with the basic attention token, the BAT. Or I might want to say that, hey, if you purchase something from our store, you get reward points back. But instead of them just being points in our central ledger, what if they were crypto coins that you could keep? They're in your wallet. You can do whatever you want with them. You could even sell them to someone else. So the loyalty points become an ecosystem of commerce, of free market principles. You can buy and sell and trade loyalty points if you want, and then redeem them in our store. You know, I mean, that seems to be a self-evident concept, and I would love to see that happen. You know, because I believe in giving people options and freedom to choose what you want to do. And so with my show, the new show that I'm announcing here today, it's not, you know, it's not the two examples I gave. It's not CoffeeZilla investigations. It's not FOMO, hurry up and buy everything. Ah, it's going to the moon. No, it's not that. Thank God. It's a show. It's a serious show among adult-minded people who are mature, who want to build a better world, who want to create infrastructure using decentralized technologies, which includes DeFi, but also distributed apps and so on, to build a better world through actual applications. How do we apply this technology? How do we use it? How do we make it part of our daily use of tech so that everybody's not just tied to the banks, you know, tied to the big tech giants and whatever they allow you to do, right? I want to live in a world where your speech is uncensorable, because I've been censored a lot over the years. And I had to build platforms in order to be able to exercise speech, right? And allowed the other people to use those platforms as well. And so there's free speech. But I want to live in a world where your speech is uncensorable because it's distributed through a peer-to-peer network. I also want to live in a world where your money is uncensorable and unconfiscatable, or non-confiscatable, and even, frankly, untraceable, because it's no government's business what you're doing with your own money that you already earned. It's yours to do with what you want. And so we've got to get out of this infantile phase of, you know, FOMO and get rich and buy low, sell high, and people spending their lives just looking at numbers on a screen like, I'm going to get more money than the next guy. No, you're not. You're wasting your life doing that. We need to apply this tech and do something real with it. We need to uplift the human experience. And we can do that together with these concepts. We can help people be more free. We can help people escape tyranny, literally, physically escape in some cases when they're fleeing a tyrannical regime like Venezuela. They can use decentralized finance to help themselves take assets with them, right? We've talked about some of those use cases before. But I want to live in a world where even the U.S. State Department can't seize your domain name because you're using a system that doesn't rely on domain names, which, by the way, the CORTAL system, QORTAL.org, if you're curious, CORTAL doesn't use domain names. And you can chat, you can publish websites, you can build apps, you can communicate, you can buy your own names there and everything. It's a whole ecosystem that doesn't need permission from any government, any corporation, not from any, you know, top level domain provider or registrar or anything. And that's one reason why I love the CORTAL system, by the way. Although it's still going to take us some time to build an app for that system because it's kind of new. Well, it's brand new, so our developers are going to take some time. But that's just one of many projects that we are looking at or learning about, or my devs are looking over for implementation. I've got documents that have come to me from other projects that are all about integration, you know, documentation, APIs, Web 2.0 implementations, Web 3 implementations, you know, different ways to do this. And I'm looking at all these options and trying to upgrade my own knowledge base in this as quickly as possible, because I see how rapidly big tech and big governments and big banks are cracking down on humanity. Time is short. We don't have forever to figure this out. We had, dare I say, damn well better get off our asses and build the system that we want to live in, because if we don't, trust me, there's a globalist prison system being built for us, which will be the default system if we don't create something better. Which is why, by the way, it burns me to hear about infighting and sabotage and collapsing of various projects. I was asking Mike Winter today about that. It's like, you know, what is it about crypto projects that so many of them just collapse, you know, and they implode, and, you know, they gather like 10 or 12 people, and then, you know, 2 years later, they're all turning on each other and stabbing each other. And Mike Winter was like, well, you know, it sometimes brings out that greed side of humanity, and a lot of these projects do self-destruct. And I think that's because a lot of people are really short-sighted or just small-minded or just greed-driven in some cases. And we've got to get past that in society. We've got to think about the big long-term picture of how we build a better infrastructure, the kind of world in which we wish to live, a world where you're not criminalized because you wanted to purchase, you know, a Christian book from a Christian bookstore, let's say. You know, there's a story about this that's kind of related. I want to share this for you. This is amazing. From Revolver.News, Darren Beatty's website. Here's the headline. This is just astonishing. Guy gets accused of racism by his doorbell. Amazon shuts down his entire smart home. So this guy, and I don't know if he's black or white, it doesn't matter. This guy had a fully automated smart home, Amazon Alexa, Amazon Echo, and I've never understood why people would be naive enough to install spy devices in their own home. But people do. It's especially younger people, by the way, they think it's just normal to be spied on all the time. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? So anyway, this guy had his smart home all set up, everything, you know, locks on the doors and lights and access and garage doors and everything. And what happened was a package delivery guy from Amazon, I think it was from Amazon, reported that this guy's doorbell, which was one of these smart doorbells, you know, that have cameras on and everything, that the doorbell called him something racist. Like, as if doorbells are screaming the N-word or something. Which just, I mean, that just seems insane. But can you imagine? So this package delivery person said, the doorbell called me whatever, the N-word. Amazon shut down this guy's account and the control of everything in his home. everything that was Amazon related, you know, the smart home stuff. They shut down everything, which these days can also include appliances, your refrigerator, you know, your lights, who knows, maybe your air conditioning in the near future, your electricity, your computers, right? So with no due process, just one complaint by one delivery person that said the doorbell was racist, which sounds insane, but there we go. Amazon shut down this guy's entire account. And the guy contacted Amazon, is trying to figure out, like, what's going on? And they gave him an attitude like, oh, you know what you're doing, you filthy racist. Right? And this guy's like, what? What are you talking about? And he implied he's the same skin color as the delivery person. I don't know what that is. Maybe they're both black or they're both white or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they're both Asian or Hispanic. But in any case, this guy had to show, he had to prove his innocence. He had to upload videos to the Amazon customer service team to prove that his doorbell didn't utter racist words at the package delivery guy. And then, as it says in this story, quote, despite promptly submitting video evidence immediately upon learning of the issue, he says, my account remained locked. And it was the onset of Labor Day weekend. And let's see, it wasn't until Friday afternoon I received confirmation that the investigation had started. So they launched an investigation. And I was told to expect a response within 2 business days, meaning not until the following week at the earliest. In the end, my account was unlocked on Wednesday. This was after the Labor Day weekend, with no follow-up email to inform me of the resolution. The incident stands as a stark reminder of the need for better customer service and a more nuanced approach to incident management. I have a better answer for this guy. And, you know, sorry for being so blunt, but that's my style. Why are you dumb enough to put this, to install smart home stuff in your house that's controlled by some evil corporation that can shut off your life? Why are you that stupid to do that? Frankly, I mean, you blame Amazon and you say, oh, they need better incident management. No, you need better sense. You need to just have keys to open your door. You need to not have Amazon Alexa devices listening to you. Amazon Echo, you know, smart doorbells. You don't need a smart doorbell. You don't need all this garbage. It's, I mean, you can only really blame yourself for being dumb enough to have all this spyware all installed all over your home. Of course it's going to go off the rails at some point. Of course it's going to be used against you. Of course you're living in a slave state if you volunteer to have all this spy equipment installed in your home. How could you be so stupid, frankly? It's like, what did you expect was going to happen? Did you think these corporations are going to protect your privacy and your rights and your due process? Man, grow up. You're not living in that world. You just installed Amazon spy devices that are all tied into the CIA servers, by the way. And everything that you say in your home is recorded on Amazon servers. We've already seen that. That's been proven again and again. And you maybe you even have like a Roomba vacuum cleaner with a camera on it. That thing's cruising around your house taking pictures of everything, including pictures of you on the toilet. We've seen those stories. If you're stupid enough to put roving cameras in your home and they run around and take pictures of everything, oh, here's your gun collection. Oh, you know, here's you and your girlfriend humping on the couch or whatever. All this stuff is, oh, here's you taking a dump again. You should fully expect that all that's going to end up on the internet somewhere. Why? Because it's a spy machine. Don't be so gullible. Don't be so naive. But my point in all of this is that this is what CBDCs represent. This is central bank digital currencies, surveillance money, you know, centralized control over everything in your life. And they will turn off your life if they don't like what you're doing or what you're saying or how you're voting or who you donated to, or maybe even just the way you look, because, you know, there's a war on white people right now for some reason. There's a war on women. There's a war on Asians. The entire college system in California discriminates against Asians. Same thing in New York. If you're Asian, your chances of getting into a university now have plunged by something like 80%. Even though you might have great scores, high GPA, everything, extracurricular activities. Oh, you're Asian? Oh, you don't. You're not allowed. They have to save those slots for other people for, you know, woke purposes. You see? So we've got to find a better way to use technology to protect our privacy and protect our futures together. To protect us from the authoritarian tyrants. To protect us from the Amazon.coms of the world that are evil centralized corporations. And we, the people, have got to have a bigger vision about this than to just focus on FOMO, buy low, sell high. No, I'm sorry. That's retarded, okay? Again, I'm not going to apologize, but I'm just going to speak bluntly. That's retarded. We got to think bigger than this. We have to think about how we build a society where we can be free. A society where we have control over our own finances, where we have control over our own speech, our own identities, our own metadata. That's the kind of society that I want to help build. Because that's the world in which I want to live. So that's the focus. I know that might have been a long explanation, but that's the focus of this new show. I'm still thinking about the title. Again, I'm going to have a co-host. We're going to do this about once a week to start with. And we want to talk to interesting people who have interesting projects that can help set humanity free. I've already talked to both of the co-founders, or at least two of the co-founders of Cordal. I'd love to get somebody on from Monero, for example. I want to get people on from different projects. Does anybody have a way to make Bitcoin more private? I mean, I haven't seen anything that seems to work yet, but maybe there's something I don't know about. What ideas are out there? What kind of projects are out there that are a bigger vision than just, again, buy low, sell high, FOMO, going to the moon, rug pull, blah, blah, blah. Forget that. Big projects, big thinkers, change the future. It's about more than money or value or digital money. It's about human freedom, which means human existence. The sustainability of human civilization depends on us getting this right. And time is growing short, so we better get this right. And maybe I'm behind the curve. Maybe there are people that are already, you know, years ahead of me, and they're laughing at me right now. Oh, man, how could you be so far behind? We've already built the system, and here it is. And they roll it out, and it's a giant holographic orb. It's like, yeah, everything you want's already done. Okay, great. Show me. Let's talk about it. If it already exists, then that's awesome. I'm open to that. I'd love that. So that's my offer. You can reach me at situationupdate@protonmail.com with your suggestions, or if you want to be a guest, or you have a project or anything like that, or if you are offended by the fact that I called people retarded for putting spy machines in their home, you can also comment on that. Don't call me retarded. Okay, whatever. You install spy devices all over your home, you deserve that label. If that's you. That's probably not you listening to this, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that do that. And those are the same people, by the way, who want CBDCs. They're like, I love government giving me like totally trackable, programmable money. I think it's awesome. Yeah? Yeah. Wait until they turn off your wallet, and then it's not so awesome. Is it? Because one day they're coming for you, by the way. Oh, and you know, this is a message for the Muslims out there too, you know? So this is what's interesting. It's tough to be a Muslim in America. Now, it was really tough after 2001 because, of course, there was pretty much a cultural war against Muslims, which was entirely undeserved because 9/11 was actually pulled off by the CIA and the deep state and the Bushes. It was no fault of any Muslims. I mean, that's a whole separate podcast, but the media taught Americans to hate basically anybody that looked Middle Eastern, right? So that was just blatant discrimination and racism against Muslims and you know, anybody that was at a mosque and whatever. And that was just years of abuse. And then that turned around under, well, the last few years, where Democrats were really embracing more Muslims because they were electing more Muslims into Congress, like the Somali Muslims, you know, and just being more open about, you know, having Muslims as part of America. And it was more tolerant about Muslims. And then now, Here's what's funny. Now, Muslim parents don't want their children to have their genitals mutilated in the transgenderism gaslighting operation that's being pushed by the radical left. So now leftists in America are saying that Muslims are bad again because they say Muslims are like white supremacists because they don't want their children to be LGBT. So you see, even now, once again, Muslims are on the enemies list of intolerant leftists who can't stand the fact that they can't own your children and mutilate your children in the name of, you know, whatever LGBT agenda they're pushing. Now, this is not specifically, I don't mean to talk about any one specific group. My point is that any group can be targeted. And any group can have their money taken away. Any group can have their rights taken away, their freedoms taken away, if we don't live in a free society. So those of you listening, maybe you're Hispanic. Guess what? One day they could stage an event and they could blame, you know, Mexicans, or they could blame Venezuelans or whatever. And then all of a sudden, everybody who's Hispanic is suddenly, you know, caught in the crosshairs of some kind of media gaslighting campaign to generate hatred. Or there could be hatred against, you know, black people or Asian people. I mean, again, this is how the media plays us all off against each other. I mean, what about Russian people? Right now, you know how hard it is to be Russian in America because of all the media-induced hatred against Russia? I mean, it was insane. They were all over the world, like, canceling Russian race car drivers at NASCAR. You know, the guy's like, I'm Russian race car driver, you know, and all of a sudden he's evil because of whatever's going on in Ukraine and Russia. So you can't be a Russian race car driver. You can't be a Russian tennis player. You can't be a Russian artist. Did you know Russian artists are being banned from art exhibits because they're Russian? It's got nothing to do with Putin or Zelensky or Ukraine or war or tanks or anything. It's like, this is a Russian artist over here. It could be a Russian ballet dancer. It could be a Russian yoga master or whatever. I mean, Russian sports fitness expert. Could be just anybody who's Russian. Now they're subjected to all this hatred. I mean, what the hell is that? That's my point, is that no group is safe when tyranny runs amok. And did you know a lot of that tyranny comes from money printing? It comes from the central banks. It comes from fiat currency. It comes from corrupt governments that print money and use it to buy influence and to buy, to pay off people, you know, like the Biden crime family paid off with all kinds of bribes out of Ukraine and so on. It is a totally corrupt system, and we will never be free as human beings as long as that system persists. So we have to choose a different system. We have to choose not to be slaves. We have to choose not to allow ourselves to be manipulated to fight each other or to discriminate against each other based on ethnicities or skin color or even sexual preferences or country of origin or what have you. I mean, this is our way out of the tyranny, is to stop allowing the system to turn us against each other and stop allowing the system to confiscate your money, control your money, control your life, suppress your speech, rig your elections, you know, declare you to be an extremist or a criminal or a terrorist. Sometimes, like after 9/11, just because you're Muslim or just because you came from the Middle East or just because you even just look Middle Eastern. I mean, it was, man, you know who the worst racists are in society? It's the media. The media is always turning races against each other. It's all social engineering and psychological programming and deliberate trauma to make races hate each other. And you and I are above and beyond all of that. We have transcended that silly, petty nonsense, but we still live in a world where a lot of people are sadly easily manipulated by the corporate media or governments or propaganda or the CDC or what have you, or the central banks. And that's what we're trying to escape. So we build a future based on freedom, and the technology enables us, helps us do that. The cypherpunk, manifesto of controlling our own future and not having tyrannical regimes monitoring us, watching us, controlling us. we can build a better future together, and that's what this show is all about. At least that's my intention. You know, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we do three shows and we're like, this isn't working. But we're going to try it. And if the shows are educational and interesting, we'll do more. So thank you for your suggestions, and thank you for caring about all these issues and for your understanding as we take this journey together. And I look forward to hearing from you. So again, I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, in case you didn't know that, the publisher of naturalnews.com. I'm one of the most banned voices in the world. I've been, you know, banned, and not just shadow banned, not just deplatformed, but just completely wiped off of every platform that is controlled by the establishment. So I had to build my own, and now I'm ready to build more infrastructure for a free humanity. So join me in that, and maybe we can achieve this together. Thanks for listening. Take care now. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.